Well, turn over to the book of Philippians, if you will. Philippians chapter 2 is where we're going to hang out this morning for a little while. Philippians 2, and we're going to look specifically at verses 12 through 18, all right? Philippians 2, 12 through 18. Our passage this morning is one that we're probably familiar with, and Paul talks about how we are to be lights in the world. And I was thinking about light and thinking about what is light. So I looked it up. I know what light appears to be, but what is it exactly? What is light? Well, light, and this is, I had to look this up. These words wouldn't normally come out of my mouth. This is scientific stuff, but light is kind of a wave, isn't it? It's somewhat like the ocean waves or sound waves. Waves, understand, carry energy from one place to another, but light waves don't need water or air or anything to travel. They can move even in empty space, unlike sound waves. Light waves are made of a mixture of electricity and magnetism, so they're called electromagnetic waves. These waves travel very quickly, about 186,000 miles per second. This means a beam of light could literally go 7.5 times around the world in 1 second. That's how quick light travels. Now, we all know the light helps us see things. But how? How does it help us see? Well, when the electromagnetic radiation collides with an object, a portion of the light is reflected back toward our eyes. And when this reflected portion collides with our retina, we see the object. We never see the light traveling through space. We only see the light when it changes after it hits something and it reflects something back into our eyes. So the purpose of light is to reveal the properties of the object that it collides with. It's a little bit of a lesson there for you. Science lesson this morning, okay? That's always good. Now, our passage this morning, Paul declares to us that we are the lights of the world. And obviously, Paul's not the only one that said that. Remember, Jesus said it over in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus goes on to say that we have to let our light shine to reveal our good works, to put the spotlight on God, not the spotlight on us, but the spotlight on God, to give Him glory. So everything that we do is to cause others to give praise to God and to magnify His grace and His power, all of His qualities. And whether we realize it or not, guys, our most important calling is to give glory to God and to be His witness, to testify on His behalf. And being the light, okay, that we're going to talk about, helps us put the gospel on display. It helps people see the gospel. So how can we continue to do this? Because it's not always easy. It's not always easy to be the light, as Paul says here, as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. How can we continue to be lights in the world? How can we continue to give glory to God and put the gospel on display? Again, because it's indispensable. Well, Paul sheds some light, pun intended, on how to do this, okay? So let's take a look at it together and see what he has to say here in verses 12 through 18. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out His good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. Hold firmly to the message of life. Then I can boast in the day of Christ that I didn't run or labor for nothing. But even if I am poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. In the same way, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. So in these few verses, Paul kind of paints a picture for us of how to be like those shining stars that he talked about, to be the light in a perverted generation in which we live, okay? So here's number one. If you're taking notes, I don't have it on a PowerPoint today, but I'll repeat the thing so you can get it down. Number one, how can we be the light? Number one, be faithful in our Christianity. Be faithful in our Christianity. In other words, we have to grind it out. Okay, you ever heard that word? Grind it out, grind it out. Stay committed. You know, keep the metal to the pedal, or pedal to the metal. Keep on trucking, keep on moving on, moving on. You know, all these cliches that we have in life, but grind it out. Paul loved these believers very much. He wanted them to continue to grow in Christ. He wanted them to continue to obey what they'd been taught. That's why he used the term, work out your salvation. Now, when you read that at face value, you may think, well, what is Paul talking about? That means we work for our salvation. Our salvation is by works. That's obviously not what Paul means. He doesn't mean that our salvation is by works. The Bible says, obviously, that we are saved once and for all when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But here's the thing. It's in the grind of everyday life that salvation is put on display, right? That's what he's talking about. When he says, work out your salvation, he's saying, in everyday life, let your salvation be on display so that other people can see. That's why we have to be faithful in our Christianity. That's what Paul meant here. And for the Philippian church specifically, it meant dealing with together with they had division going on. They had arguments and grumblings in the church. So he's saying, listen, let your salvation be evident to the others around you. As you work out your salvation, let that be on display. Be faithful in your Christianity. And guys, here's the thing. If we want to talk about grinding it out, and life can be a grind, right? Getting up and doing our work and going to school and doing the things that we have to do day after day after day after day. Life can be a grind. And we can grow weary. We can grow, disillusioned. We can get tired. All these things. And here's the bottom line. The best way to grind it out or to be faithful is to train ourselves to think like Jesus. Right? He's the number one guy. We have to train ourselves to think like Jesus. In other words, in order to do this, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the influence of brothers and sisters in Christ here at church. That's why it's important that we meet together. That's why it's important that we do not forsake gathering together as the people of God. That's why we need each other. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to train ourselves to act like Jesus. We need the influence of other brothers and sisters in Christ. We need obedience to God's word. We need sacrificial service. Because here's the bottom line. Somebody wrote this, and I can't remember who said it. It was a quote that I've written down before, and they said, it's in doing God's will that we gain the desire to do it. It's in doing God's will that we gain the desire to do it. So the more that we do God's will, the more we desire to do it even more. And according to verse 13, it's God who is working in us and enabling us to do His will. Another way that we are faithful in our Christianity is just to follow God's word. You know, we have difficult choices in everyday life, and it seems like it's getting more and more difficult each and every day. But when we know God's word, guess what? We know how to respond to the difficulty. For instance, God shows us clearly what His design is for our lives. He has the design for... We've talked about this a million times as we've talked about the three circles. We have God's design, right? This is how He originally created the earth. And he created everything to work together and to fit together in harmony. He has got a design for marriage. He's got a design for relationships. He's got a design for families. He's got a design for you and your jobs and your school situation. He has a design for you and me, okay? So he clearly has a design for our lives. Personally, you know, and I'm just trying to give some examples. When we know God's word, we understand God's design. My kids have always known what kind of a spouse to look for because they know what God's word says. If we want to know what kind of a spouse, husband or wife, that we need to pursue in life, we have to look to what God's word says. So my kids have known that. We understand how God values life, and we understand what his definition of marriage is because we know what God's word says. When the world says one thing, we said, this is what God's word says. Sadly, many people today, many Christians today, are starting to cave to the world's way of thinking simply because they don't know what God's word says, or even worse, they just refuse to obey it. Say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to leave out that part because it doesn't fit in with my way of thinking. And we've often talked about how God's word is not a salad bar. We don't pick and choose. We have to accept it for what it is. And so it's God's word that helps us to understand God's design, helps us to understand that we need to be faithful in our Christianity. And it's God's spirit that enables us to live out, to work out, to put our salvation on display. And it can be a grind, yes. Kingdom work is hard. I was talking to Andrew and Kayla yesterday, and listen, when you deal with a lot of things at camp, emotional stuff, spiritual stuff, it can wear on you. And I'm sure not just Andrew and Kayla and Abby that went, but you kids, you're kind of worn out today because you dealt with a lot of stuff. And when you deal with stuff like that, it can be difficult. And listen, it can be a grind. Living out our faith can be a grind. But the Spirit of God empowers us to be faithful. And so we have to grind it out in order to be a light in the world. So be faithful to our Christianity. That's number one. Number two, Paul says in verses 14 and 15, this is a difficult one. He says, be mindful of your attitude. Be mindful of your attitude. Let me ask you a question. What kind of attitude do you have around other people, especially non-believers? Do they see you in your life as a person of love and joy? Or are you crabby and hard to live with? You say, well, Pastor, sometimes both. I get that. We can all be that way. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. At some point, I'm sure. But guys, how we treat other people is a very good indication of where we are spiritually. Let me repeat that. How we treat other people is a very good indication of where we are spiritually in our lives. It's important that we be mindful of our attitude because, listen, guys, when our attitude stinks, we paint a very ugly picture of Jesus. And I know none of us wants to do that. Paul explained the importance of our actions. He said we're to serve without what? Grumbling or arguing, so our hearts can be blameless and pure. Serve without grumbling or arguing, so our hearts can be pure. That word blameless there means beyond reproach. It doesn't mean sinless perfection because we're never going to be there. Amen? We shouldn't, but at the same time, we shouldn't give the world any fuel to criticize us even more than they already do. The word pure there is a word used in the Greek language to describe wine that had not yet been diluted. And so when Paul says that we should live in a way where we're not grumbling or arguing, that our lives are blameless and pure, that's when we really begin to shine like stars in the world, in this perverted generation in which we live. We're going to bring the light of truth into a world that is very dark. And a life that has been transformed is an effective witness to the power of God's word. And so as we think about this, is are our lives shining brightly, or are they clouded by having a stinky attitude? Because when they're clouded by this stinky attitude, we're not going to be the people of God that we need to be. We're not going to be the light that God wants us to be in the world. And listen, I understand loving people is hard work sometimes. The reason I can say that, because I can be hard to love. I know that that's difficult for you to believe, but even me, I can be hard to love sometimes. And we all can. But we have to do our best to be the light. And the way that we do that is to be pure, blameless and pure, like shining stars in the world. So be mindful of your attitude. And then what does he say there in verse 16? Basically, Paul says, focus on the gospel. Focus on the gospel. What does he say? Hold firmly to the message of life. That is the gospel, the message of life. Listen, we all know that we're living in troubling times, and it seems every day that Christianity is losing ground. It's getting harder and harder to be a strong witness in the world. And we're seeing right before our eyes scores of people leaving the church, and our nation is getting increasingly more secular each and every day. It's very disheartening. But in order for us to continue to be lights in the world, we have to hold firmly to the message of life. That means we have to focus on and emphasize the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because that, the gospel, is what ultimately is going to change the heart of man. I mean, we can pass laws and do all this stuff, and sometimes the laws are great and all, but ultimately it's the gospel that's going to change the heart of man. And there are some Christians today that are developing this bunker mentality about surviving in a lost and depraved world. If I just hunker down long enough and hold on, then everything's going to pass by and everything's going to be okay. I have something to tell you. That's not the case. It's not going to happen that way. Because when we have the mindset to withdraw into only the church and family and away from the world, guess what happens? The proclamation of the gospel is severely stifled. When we hunker down and bury down and get in our bunkers, the gospel's not proclaimed. And we are mandated in the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. And as lights, we're to be out in the world, getting our hands dirty, doing the hard work of bringing people to Christ. And the gospel has to be our focus. It must be our focus, because that's the one thing, the one and only thing that will truly change the heart of our nation and of our world. That's why it's indispensable. That's why it's absolutely necessary. And you know as well as I do, the heart of our world needs to be drastically changed. You can read the news every day and see what's going on around us. And we see the brokenness that people are living in. They've chosen to ignore God's design, and they're sinned against God, and that leads to a life of brokenness, and they need desperately the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of them don't even know they need it. It's not even on their radar screen. They couldn't care less that we're meeting here on a Sunday morning together, gathering for worship. They don't care. Many of them got up this morning and thought not one thing of church or God or the Bible or anything spiritual at all. And these are people that are living in America. This is not like overseas somewhere. This is right here. These are our next door neighbors. These are our family members. People that maybe live in our own houses under our roof. They couldn't care less. They need the gospel. Are we praying for them? Are we loving them? Are we living out the gospel before their eyes? Their heart needs to be changed. So focus on the gospel. That's how we be the light. And then the final thing that Paul says here, verses 17 and 18, basically he says, offer your life as a sacrifice to the Lord. Offer your life as a sacrifice to the Lord. Paul made a reference here to being poured out as a drink offering. And what he's doing then is he's kind of using it as a symbol for being a martyr. He's saying, I'm willing to give my life. I'm willing to die, basically, for the sake of the gospel. He offered his life to the Philippian church and ultimately to Christ for the sake of the gospel. If you go back in the Old Testament, go back to Genesis 35, that's the first recorded occurrence of a drink offering that was given. Remember the story, Jacob? He gave a drink offering right after God changed his name to Israel. Drink offerings were also included with burnt and grain offerings and God-ordained sacrifices, including the morning and evening sacrifices in Exodus 29. And in those sacrifices, there was about one quart of wine that was poured onto the altar of fire for each lamb that was sacrificed. More wine was poured on there for a bull sacrifice, or even more for a ram, and then even more for a bull. But in the New Testament, a drink offering is a metaphor. It represents something. It's a metaphor for the blood of Christ that was spilled on the cross. And Jesus spoke directly about that in Luke 22:20 when he instituted the new covenant. He picked up the cup, and we often say this when we have the Lord's Supper together. He picked up the cup and he said, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. The blood literally poured out when the soldier pierced his side with a spear in John 19:34. So Jesus' blood was literally poured out. And we have to realize that as followers of Christ, guys, our lives are not our own. They belong to Jesus. They are lives not taken, but given. Several years ago, we had some missionaries that were one of the first on the lines to be in Iraq after Saddam Hussein was pulled from power. And our International Mission Board is on the cutting edge, and as soon as those doors opened, we sent missionaries in there immediately to begin to share the gospel with people who had never, ever heard, never had access to the gospel at all. I think there were 6 or 7 of them. And if you remember, I was supposed to go on a mission trip. Remember that? Years ago, I was going to be going on a mission trip with some other pastors from our association. We were going to go in and work with those missionaries and see what we could do in our American churches to be a better witness for them. And you guys supported me and helped me raise my money, and I was all packed and ready to go. And literally 24 hours before we were supposed to leave, the IMB called off the mission trip and said they were starting to target NGOs, non-government organizations or officials, and it would be too harmful for us to go. And it wasn't 2 weeks later that several of our missionaries were slaughtered, the ones that we were supposed to work with. And people say, well, what a waste. Their lives were taken. Well, their lives weren't taken, they were given. They'd already given their lives for the cause of Christ. They happened to die for the sake of the gospel, but they weren't taken. Those people didn't take their lives. They'd already given their lives for the sake of the gospel. And that's what we have to understand as Christians. We give our lives over to Christ. Our lives are the Lord's and for His service. We offer our lives as a drink offering for His glory and honor, for His purpose. Have you truly offered your life as a sacrifice to the Lord? Paul wrote over in Romans 12:1, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. When we truly give our lives to the Lord, we become a light that shines for the entire world to see. Remember, a reflection of Christ. The light bounces off an object and comes back, and people see the object. We want the light to bounce off of us and point people to Jesus, for people to see him. We represent Jesus to the world. In order for the light to illuminate, it's got to be visible. If the light's not visible, it's not going to be of any use to anyone. So when Jesus said that we're the light of the world, he meant that we are to illuminate. And the only way that we can illuminate is to be visible. So our light has to be noticeable to others. So will we be a light? What needs to happen in your life right now in order for you to be a light? Do you need to know Jesus personally? Do you need to recommit your life to him? Do you need to get right with him in some way? Do you need to commit to pray for people that you know are lost, that God has burdened you about, but you've kind of ignored that? You've said, you know, you've not done that. You've not begun to pray. You've not begun to seek opportunities to share the gospel with them. What is God calling you to do today in order to be the light? It starts with prayer, praying for people. It starts another, then we have to move beyond just praying to actually sharing the story. We can share our personal testimony. We've talked about that. You can share one of the parables that talk about repentance and people coming to know Jesus. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost son, the hidden treasure that we talked about. All those are great stories that you can share with people. And it's a simple story that you can share and help people understand the nature of God and Jesus Christ. You can share the three circles, as we've talked about. Read the book that I gave you, Turning Everyday Conversations into Gospel Conversations. That will help you immensely. We're going to talk more about that this fall as we get into our weekly Bible studies that we do. But there are several things that we can do as Christians to be the light. And simply commit to do that today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for this passage. And Lord, we understand that you've called us to be the light. And Father, you've given us the means to do so. Your Holy Spirit empowers us and lives in us. And Lord, so many times we don't tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. We just kind of go on our own power. And when we do, we're gonna stumble and fall. But I pray right now that you would do a work among us. Lord, shake us up and speak to our hearts in the things that we need to do. And I pray this morning that every person here, if you're calling them to do something, that they would be willing to do that. Give them the wisdom, the provision, the understanding, the willingness, the power, the courage, Lord, whatever they need, give them that right now so they can make that commitment to you. Father, have your way among us. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together.